Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Here Be Monsters this evening, March 3rd. Third month, third day in the 13th year. And how you doing, Jack?
Doing real well up here in snowy Minnesota, but it's going to get snowier before it gets warm and greener. So it'll be a little while yet, but so far we're doing okay.
That's good to hear. We have several things going on today. We're being simulcast, or I'm being simulcast, via Google Hangouts onto the front page of Roundtree 7 blog. Anybody listening wants to go over there and boot up their Roundtree 7 page on their browser. They can see us. Well, they can see me, and they can hear us via Google Hangouts or YouTube feed. So we're trying to nail this all down and polish off the rough edges of it. And one or two shows from now, I'm thinking we're going to have it down pretty well, I hope. We're getting a lot of help from Kim G over at AWOP Radio. And it's important to do this, Jack, because basically what we're doing is plowing the road for other people out there who would like to make use of, like, the Google Hangouts and all the other technologies that that are out there available. It's like, and I will give a shout-out to the people in our chat room, one of which is our good pal and co-writer over co-contributor at Roundtree 7, P.E. Nolan, or Tricia.
Hi, Tricia.
And she went out to meet somebody who blogs that she's been listening to for a long time and reading. And, you know, folks like that, instead of just having the blog, they could begin to do hangouts and simulcast. It's free. This is free technology. Now, we pay for ours, but it's free technology to go over and get a Google Plus account and start a Hangout. All you need is your own technology, the computer, with the, you know, the dash camera, the webcam. And like I have right now, I am the face, the live face and the live feed of Hangouts that's over.
You're
now.
Much more attractive than I, so it's probably better that way.
Okay, now, what do you call it? Tricia is saying that she's in, and bear with us, folks, while we try to figure this out. Tricia says she can't try the right hand side. Trish, if you can hear me, try the right hand side of the page. It's basically, I don't know if it's just because it's me, but there's it's the video feed there that says Here Be Monsters 3313, and there's a click to make the arrow go. Can you see that? Let me know if you see that.
No, you're getting it on your computer, right, Gwen?
I am.
Yeah, so it's got to be out there.
Yeah, it's there. People just aren't figuring out. Oh, she's not getting anything.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, it's not coming up.
That's the second one now. Ooh, that's a problem.
No, you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. It's that I started the feed about 30 minutes ago, and it's going to run all of that before time. So, Tricia, just run the, you know, push the bar ahead on the video. You should get it. I'm pushing it just to see.
You should get it.
There, I get it live. It's weird. See, these are the things we have to figure out.
Well, these are the little glitches that Kim warned us about and that we'll have to struggle with and conquer, you know.
Well, I don't understand why we're not getting it, but apparently we aren't. You can also find us in the Google Hangouts. I didn't invite anybody because that allows people to step into the room while I'm doing a show, and that's not good. It'll distract from getting it all ironed out. Anyway, Jack Jodell, Saturday Afternoon Post. What do you call it? I'm still getting notes in the chat room. Saturday Afternoon Post, and that's jackjodell53.wordpress.com, correct?
That's correct, you bet. And I'll have about midweek or so, I'll have a new post up that I'll give you a little teaser here. It'll be called The Men Who Ruined America, Part 1. And I got the inspiration. I recently saw one of the few remaining good shows on the History Channel. It's gone so far to hell lately that it's hardly got anything good on anymore. But it had a series on the men who built America. It was centered on captains of industry and inventors and things who it had a positive influence on our lives and on technology and so forth in this country. Well, I did some thinking, and I thought, boy, a lot of guys have built America, and there have been people that have ruined America as well. So I thought I'd concentrate on those people in an effort for us to avoid making the same mistake in following what they had presented us with in the future.
Bringing up the awareness. There you go.
That's right. Yeah, so that's what I'm going to attempt to do, starting with part one about Wednesday-ish or so.
I'll also have
that over at Roundtree 7.
Great. Well, I have a question for you. Amongst all of these leaders and captains of industry that you've chosen, and builders, movers, and shakers, who are the ones that were the first one I think of as far as what we do with free speech and bringing up awareness and doing our blogs and doing all that we're doing with the shows and stuff? I think of Ben Franklin.
Well, that's a good choice. Now, they didn't have them on the Men Who Built America because what they centered on were about five or six guys. And they were Henry Ford, they were Andrew Carnegie, they were, who else was on there, J.P. Morgan. They had the real big captains of the 19th century for the most part.
Industrialization, yeah.
Yeah, industrial captains really transformed America in a very huge and very quick way, and in some ways a negative way, but in other ways a very positive way. But at any rate, that's what they featured on this program, and it was fascinating because they had about six of them, and what they did is they ran them in sequence all one Sunday, and I happened to see most of them then, but they've run them, you know, one episode at a time,
right?
Prior to that at different nights on the History Channel. And it's one of the few things that are left on there besides the crappy Swamp People and Pawn Stars and all these other stupid shows that they have now that aren't worth your time or day or effort. But it was one of the few remaining good shows that I actually saw on the History Channel recently, and I thought I'd mention that. And it did inspire me to create something about the people that have had an adverse effect on our country, which I'll be starting here beginning Wednesday or so.
Do you care to give us a little spoiler? Tell us who you've
Well, the very first one will be about a former Supreme Court Associate Justice by the name of Lewis F. Powell, Jr. And he's responsible for a lot of the bad occurrences we've had recently in this country and for the way corporations have just really gone berserk lately and kind of screwed up the country big time. And that's about the end of my teaser, but that's what it'll focus on, the very first one. And unlike the History Channel, mine won't be in any chronological order or anything like that. It'll just be random sampling of different guys who've screwed up America in one way or another.
Which there's an endless chain, I know. Yep. I would say for the History Channel, I actually went over there and programmed my DVR to begin recording a series that interested me that I've been seeing advertised called The Vikings.
Oh, yeah, okay. I haven't seen it or the ads yet, but...
It comes on tonight at 10 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
The production and the acting looks very good. So, you know, it's like...
Good.
I think they're jousting with HBO for Game of Thrones time, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah.
They have nowhere to go but up, because they've sure descended to a very low level recently with the crap they've been peddling off as history. It's been a joke. But that sounds like a good theatrical production that's reasonably historically accurate. That sounds like a good move for those folks, and I encourage them to do more of that.
I hear you.
Both the History Channels, they call it H1 and H2 now. Used to be the History Channel and the History Channel International, but they switched the names, and they both got the same crappy programming.
Okay. Well, yeah, I've noticed that it's a lot. Well, National Geographic has a channel that puts on shows that are, you would think, contrary to. They're looking for reality stuff that captures audience numbers.
Right, and that's pathetic because most of that reality stuff is garbage, let's face it. Honey Boo Boo and all that crap. Give me a break. Give me a big break. Let's just make all TV on that level of a 6-year-old intelligence, shall we?
I hear you.
Oh, Lord.
And so I have a big question for you. What are you thinking about what happened in Washington this week? Janelle Green
the sequester.
With you, by the way. She says, that's funny, Jack, because all of it's garbage. Well, I like Wicked Tuna.
Well, there's the occasional one that's, interesting, but when it's based on reality things, it's overly dramatized. It's just, it's silly is what it is.
100%. So what do you think of what's going down with sequester? Do you think that basically we're going to get the American version of what's been going on for the last 2 years in Europe?
Well, the Tea Party and Paul Ryan and all those goofballs and Rand Paul and all those idiots on the far right, that's what they want. They're convinced that the only thing that will save this country is complete austerity. And I got news for those guys. They're out of their mind. But at any rate, I think voters, once they start to see what this sequester really means, how it will take the jobs from teachers, firefighters, police, and other folks as well, and it'll also put a lot of Section 8 people out on the street once the federal government stops sending them their money for their
medication,
or paying their rent. You see swelling numbers of homeless out there, I think people are going to react very aggressively against this insane move by the Republicans to force austerity on the country.
Well, Jack, I've got to tell you, it's both sides of that fence. I mean, it's not Pelosi and her gang were in power for how long they could have done something about these upcoming tax cuts and breaks and the need to cut the deficit, and they didn't do it because the same old song and dance. This is a do-si-do of who hit who. As far as who's going to be the one to bring down the taxes on the people? Jesus, I got to tell you, I'll pay my taxes if it's going to help me to create commerce, to substantiate my life, absolutely, and to build my community and take care of it as long as
it'll pave your roads, it'll provide for your security.
I'm not afraid. Taxes that are just and right, as long as I get to vote on them. But when's the last time they even brought that up? I mean, it's become such a talking point that for how many years now? Is it going on 20? They really haven't done anything. And I think, it's something we really should be looking at and people should be talking about.
Well, let's face it. The whole reason we're having a deficit. First of all, the deficit is shrinking, not growing. That's a big Republican myth right there that it's growing. It's shrinking, and government spending they say is going up. No, that's not true either. It's a big myth that they're perpetrating just to try and get this austerity thing past the American people. And the problem is, not only has the deficit been shrinking. Government jobs have been eliminated to beat hell. It's just insane what they've been doing with that. Private sector jobs have been on the increase. Government sector jobs have been declining. And that could be good or bad, but regardless, it isn't quite as bleak as the Republicans would have us believe. And our children's children's children are not going to be bankrupt and walking around like kids in North Korea trying to grab stuff off the street to eat. It's not going to be that way. I'm sorry. This is a big lie. And, you know, who caused this current economic crisis anyway? It was Republican extravagance during the Bush years, where they ran two wars on a credit card. They provided a massive tax increase for billionaires, which has lasted for 11 years and has created no jobs whatsoever. And they told us in the beginning, oh, it's going to create jobs and it's going to be good for the economy. And no, none of that stuff happened. It was a big lie from day one. It's typical trickle down economics lying that was revitalized during the Bush era, and now we're paying the awful price for it. And you know, I'll tell you what, that's just ridiculous. Now the sad thing is the Democrats have not really risen to the occasion and really adequately fought this thing, and really, you know, they got a mild tax increase, but on the surface it's a tax increase. In reality, it increases taxes very, very little on the wealthy because the loopholes weren't addressed and weren't taken care of. And now Obama wants to take care of that, and the Democrats say they want to take care of that, but the Republicans aren't going to let them. So it's what good is a tax increase if the wealthy's taxes don't really increase? You know, that's what I ask.
There you go. We've got a caller, area code 978. Caller, please, who's calling in?
Hi, Gwen. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Jim. How are you?
How are you?
Very good. Hey,
good. Hey, what's
a
good word, buddy?
I tried to remain silent, but, I got to tell you, this is no crisis. This is,
right.
This isn't a great problem. This is part of a plan, and you guys should know that and probably do.
Sure. But, manufactured.
This is what the Republicans wanted all along, and mm-hmm. you know, I know you guys probably have gotten sick a long time ago of hearing me say it, but you do not matter, and those on welfare, those that are hurting, they do not mm-hmm. matter.
Exactly.
They have
right.
Yeah, they have a plan. Bush. It first got. Talked about under Bush, and the senators were so panicked they all came out and talked, even though they weren't supposed to, which is normal. But they have the concentration camps or whatever you want to call them already ready. They expect people to the shit to hit the fan, and
mm-hmm.
they're not concerned about it.
No, they don't care in the least.
No, it was all set up so right now so that it looked like it was Obama. Oh, Obama is the one that set up sequester. Well, he
mm-hmm.
set that up because he figured nobody was stupid enough to let it get that bad. Well,
right.
they wanted it to get that bad, and it's not. It's bad to us. It's success to them. Like
mm-hmm.
Iraq falling apart was success to Bush. There was no failure there as far
right.
as he was concerned. I mean, it's designed to get worse, and now they can blame it all on Obama.
Mm-hmm. Well, they want to privatize everything. They want to take the government out of everything. They want to shrink the government to the point where it's ineffective. It's almost there right now, but they want to make it. They want to just destroy it. And you know what? That is not a creative effort. That's not a
no.
progressive effort. That's a regressive effort, and it's detrimental to the welfare of the country.
We need the government right now.
We sure do. More than we did before.
I mean, with FDR, he had the Republicans behind him. They wanted him to succeed. Well, they're not on our side anymore. They want failure and nothing else. And failure
right.
for Obama is failure for us, failure for the
country.
Well,
we've been over that many times. You know why.
Well,
it's because he's a black
yeah.
man, and they hate the idea of a black man being successful in anything, let alone the government, let alone the presidency.
But guys, I gotta say, Obama is responsible for this too. I mean,
oh, sure he is.
He's used it as one of his political tools also, you know.
He still thinks he's a community organizer. He doesn't know how to be president.
Oh, my goodness. If only he thought he was a community organizer. I think he's more like he thinks he's a corporate, you know, banker.
Yeah, he is in many ways. That's very true. You know, at least he's held the Republicans' feet to the fire regarding taxes, and he got a tax increase out of them, the first since Bill Clinton. I mean, that's laudatory. It really is. And
I hear you.
He's disappointed us in many ways, not being radical enough or not being far left enough, even though he's characterized as being such a socialist and all that nonsense the Republicans are peddling. But, you know, in reality, he's been a very centrist, very mild Democrat. He's been nothing like the ogre that they say he is.
Well, I would say he's been more Republican than he's been Democrat, Jack.
Right. Let's face it, the Democratic Party's gone so far right. Even during Clinton, it was far to the right of where it used to be.
Yes, I agree. I agree 100%. I'm not happy with either side of the street on politics right now. But you are right, Jack. You always bring up what's the good stuff? What's laudable, as you said before? Janelle Green has a wonderful opinion here. She thinks Obama is further right than George W. So.
I don't buy that, but I've seen evidence that would lead to that conclusion. I understand that. I understand where she's coming from.
Yeah. Well, it's not hard to. You know, I should beg your pardon here, but I'm going to call him a son of a bitch because I know gosh darn good and well he's about to okay that XL pipeline.
Yeah,
and
that's going to be disgusting,
and that's
too.
That's horrifying what that's going to do. And look at the people who are out there saying, well, this is something I do not believe. I do not believe the Arizat's polling that's been taken that says people are more concerned with jobs than they are the environment. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks will say, no, you're wrong, Gwen. People only give a shit about the almighty goddamn dollar. Pardon my French, gentlemen. That nothing else matters. And I don't buy that completely. I don't buy it at all. When people began to understand, because people like Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy and the rest of the screaming hippies of the 60s said that the Vietnam War was as bad as it was, and Ellsberg made things, you know, known. People said no effing way. They got angry. And
yeah, it took a few years, but it did end up that way. That's very true. Yep.
I would point that out and say people are not they're generations builders before they are the American people and the Danish people and the Argentinian people and the people of planet Earth, let me put it in those terms, are more people who are very much concerned about the health of the environment and the health of the generations to come.
We as Americans have been very, very myopic regarding the rest of the world. I mean, we think the whole world revolves around us. We're living in medieval times, the way the church used to believe that the earth was at the center of the universe and everything revolved around it. Everything revolves around us, and boy, are we out in left field on that one.
I think you got a point there.
Good God almighty, it's insane, really. I mean, the rest of the world is against the terrible pollution about the rising carbohydrates, hydrocarbon levels. All right, rising carbohydrates, too. But at any rate, they're very much concerned with that, and we just blow it away. We just, if it hurts business and industry, just don't do anything about it. You know, it's a wrong attitude.
Agreed 100%. There are everybody has that point of view. Wish we had some more callers. Jim, how do you see this one?
Well, I just have to go back what I said when I came in. We don't matter. I mean, and all these other countries, sure, the people speak up and they do what the people want. The people here don't matter.
We're controlled by corporations, Jim, yeah. And they have their own agenda, not our agenda. It's their agenda.
We're a corporatocracy. We don't
exactly.
matter. This is not
well,
a democracy.
There's a lot of good
yep.
people out there bringing this up, and there's a lot of good people. I mean, officers of the court now, and I would point again as Trisha has in the chat room. I would point to Bobby Kennedy, what he did a couple of weeks ago by. Chaining himself to the fence of the White House and saying it's time for civil disobedience.
And
I can guarantee you, because I have not seen such militant activism as far as state
you know, they even broke
as
through
as
and got a little tiny bit of corporate media airplay on that.
It was because of the names involved there.
Right.
Not many people, a household name is not Bill McGibbon, but Bobby Kennedy,
sadly, it quickly turned into yesterday's flavor. You know,
yeah,
it's off the screen
get
now.
Any airtime, and they were right. just laughed
yeah.
off.
Right,
and we
yeah.
have another caller, area code 204, who's on the line?
Hi, it's Mike Simpson.
Hey, Mike.
Oh, hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Cool.
Hey, everybody.
Good to hear from you.
It is good to hear from you. Come on, weigh in on the tar sands. We're talking to a Canadian journalist here, so it would be nice to hear your point of view, sir.
That's what I was calling about tar sands, and just generally about what Americans should be able to expect from their president. Mm-hmm. Now, about the tar sands, the thing to remember here is that there's no way of getting around the fact that clearly Canadian oil sands or Canadian oil industry views the pipeline, the Keystone XL pipeline, as extremely important to them and their business. So
sure.
this nonsense that's being touted in that report that just came out on Friday that says, the tar sands operations will continue growing at the same pace regardless of whether there's the pipeline or not. Well, that doesn't jive with what Calgary oilmen are saying. It doesn't jive with what the heads of Canada's petrostate are saying, because the Harper government up here in Canada has been practically apoplectic at every turn when the tar sands the pipeline was in jeopardy. If they didn't think the tar sands if they didn't think the pipelines was important to the tar sands, then you know why the apoplectic reactions to every little bit of protest, every bit of criticism, anything against Keystone XL?
They're so far right and they're so pro industry, it's just pathetic, man. I've characterized him as the George W. Bush of Canada, and I think there's a lot of reason for that parallel.
They already have alternative plans, don't they? I mean, don't they have a pipeline that they were planning on building
well,
up in Canada out to the coast? And
well, the other major pipeline that's sort of in process is called the Northern Gateway Pipeline. It would go from Alberta through British Columbia to the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
That, however, is in great jeopardy right now. First of all, First Nations, or as I think what you would call Native Americans in Canada,
mm-hmm.
are almost entirely opposed to it. I don't know if they can find a patch of First Nations land where there isn't opposition.
Thank
God. And secondly, British Columbia is a little more than 2 months away from a provincial election where the NDP, the New Democratic Party, the Social Democrats of Canada, are almost certainly going to win, and they
Good.
Are anti-pipeline.
Yeah.
So that one looks like it's pretty much you know, if not finished, it's going to take a long time to recover from that. It's delayed for several years.
This pipeline is not about, you know, securing any kind of goodness for the Canadian provinces or people. This is
about wealth.
It's about, yeah, this is about pure profiteering and exporting it through the pipeline on down to be exported out of this country after we refine it down at the bottom and put it on ships to send it out to be sold to other countries, which is effing ridiculous in its nature. I mean, all of the places that it's putting jeopardy, you know, over land, over sea, I mean, just to make a buck when they are saying,
eminent domain.
Yeah, well, when they are saying that, you know, we need energy resources here, my God.
Yeah, how pathetic.
Now about this presidency. I think people in the United States really have to come to terms with how little they can expect from one of their presidents, especially in the current system, which is entirely dominated by money.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. One
Jack
of us was going to say.
Jack said exactly. He was agreeing with
me. Oh, okay. Yeah, I really don't know how people can expect Barack Obama to be anything but a corporatist. Those are the people, the corporations and the corporate executives are, and the millionaires and billionaires are the people who put him in office. They are the ruling class, and they want him to serve them. And it's foolish to expect otherwise. It really is, if you ask me.
Well, and the level of awareness on what's really going on with how these tar sands and the oil itself is processed, the danger that the caliber or quality of the product itself is posing to the environment and the water tables as it goes, and just as all of the other things that are, the awareness is so low on, like Janelle just posted in the chat room that she has a 23-year-old assistant that never heard of fracking in Colorado, and there's 30,000 fracking wells. I mean, you know, geez, that's hitting me right between
the oil industry would like it.
Colorado's going to be the number one state for that. You watch.
There is an interesting bit of sort of a reason for optimism, though, in Colorado. Isn't there a city in Colorado, I believe Colorado Springs, where they've said no to fracking?
Yes. Yes, I believe that's true. Yes. And if one place will vote that way, it's Fort Collins.
Fort Collins, all right. Yes.
Fort Collins.
Japan is right now building a refinery to take the gas we're getting from there. We're supposed to be the number one exporters in the world of gas and oil in no time at all, 2017, 2015.
I thought we already actually were. When I say this to people, they look at me like I've got my head displaced on my body somehow, because, you know, they think that, you know, we have to import it from Saudi Arabia. We don't make enough. You know, it's like, wow, the idea that people and the mayor is repealing it in Fort Collins, by the way, the fracking law, the no fracking law is being repealed by the mayor.
Good.
Isn't that nice?
No. The no fracking law is being repealed?
By the mayor of Fort Collins. Ain't that pretty?
Is he a Republican?
Wow.
You know, we got to get away. Guys, I think we got to get away from this Republican-Democrat stuff and just start calling idiots and assholes.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
He's a pro-oil conservative, let's put it that way.
That's another one.
Too, Gwen, but... You know, politics plays an awful big role in this.
It's all politics. Politics is all banking.
We need more American politicians along the lines of Merkley and Sanders, and we have very and Grayson. We have very very few that fit that, and Franken. But we have very few that fit that category. Most of them are bought out Democrats and Republicans.
Yeah, yeah. And the ones that aren't are, you know, I haven't heard much from Mr. Grayson, which is disappointing. I would think he'd be screaming with this sequester thing going on, but he's not making news at all.
Mm.
It's a bit disappointing. Mm. It's like I'm seeing printed in the chat room by Trisha. It's corporate uniparty all the way. I'm going to stumble over. But it's a plutocracy.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
It's a plutocratic parties. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Masquerading is something different.
Well, it is like one party now. I mean, they we can't have a one party system, but it is like it's one party.
We have a one party system with the illusion that we have some real major differences between the two. You have very, very fine differences at best between the two. And neither one of them are very good for the majority of the country.
Gore Vidal got it right many years ago when he said it was just one party and it was with a conservative wing and a reactionary wing.
Yeah, exactly right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That makes awfully good sense. Mike, what is the pulse in Canada? I know what the pulse of First Nations are in Canada and this country, but what is the general everyday guy on the street? What's the awareness level and how much do they care about this?
About Keystone XL? And,
yeah.
The truth is, if you talk to five people at random on the streets of, say, Winnipeg, where I am, you probably would find very little interest in this issue at all.
Wow.
How
about knowledge?
Yeah. But if you go to Calgary,
Well, yeah, that's in Alberta. That's where all the action is, and that's in their
exactly. It's the seat of oil power in Canada, and it's huge to them.
The Conservative Party too right now.
The Prime Minister is from Calgary, one thing, and he's very pro oil. In fact, they're staking; they basically have put all their chips on oil as far as economic development for Canada, And it shows in all their decisions. It shows in how they treat anybody who criticizes the tar sands development or speaks out against Keystone XL. A couple of MPs from Canada, members of Parliament in the opposition, went to Washington. I think it was last year. To bring a message that they're not pro tar sands and they're not pro pipelines, and they were called traitors by the environment.
Oh, does that sound familiar? Sounds like the Bush White House all over again.
Yeah. And it was the environment minister who you think that we'd have an environment minister who actually could be at least the one person at the cabinet table to speak out for the environment.
Yeah. But not in conservative circles.
Not in conservative circles.
Good.
Either here or in Canada. Yep.
Yeah. It was great talking to you guys. I've got to go now.
Good hearing from you, Mike.
Thank you. Too cool.
Talk to you all
later.
Thanks
for the input. Bye bye.
Take care.
And gentlemen, with Mike jumping off, let me take a moment here to do what we are going to begin to do with regularity is produce this. And in that vein, I'm going to do a little plug here for where our live feed is finally. I had to start the live feed. I hadn't pushed that button yet.
Oh.
Oh, man. But, however, over at roundtree7.com, and the blog over there has got the live feed for the Here Be Monster Sunday show with Jack Jodell and Gwen Berry and whoever our guests are for the weekend. I just want to get that in there. We appreciate David and Oso and Tricia and Jack and Mike Stimson and all the writers and contributors over there.
Oh, and Jim Joyner from Average American Patriot.
Well, yes, him too. And,
absolutely, yep.
Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show, is sponsored by Roundtree 7. I also want to thank and do some promotional speaking here for Air Amartafeo on Blog Talk Radio. That's Ruth Ann Amartafeo's shows, Progress Towards Democracy with Brian Stetton and Akashic Temple, and all of her great shows here on Blog Talk Radio. Also, AWOF Radio with Kim G on two p.m. on Fridays. All of these folks are part of the crew, you know, that we support and union with. And also, please remember that at 7 p.m. when we go off the air, right next door on Blog Talk Radio is Progressive News Network with Rick Spezak, and you should tune in to him, too. So, there you have it.
Knowledge is power, and let's be powerful, right?
Yes, and as they say over at Roundtree 7, knowledge to the... Okay.
Social consciousness.
Knowledge to the social consciousness. Good work. I'm going to have to type this stuff up and actually produce this. You know,
there you go.
As Kim G says, we all need a few interns that are working with us, but we're going to get it down. And I also want to thank Charles Bonneve, who is a friend of our good friend Manny Jelonsky's, and he has a brother who does some really wonderful stuff, and I'm going to slip him in and do a plug for him. He's over at Reverb Nation. So, folks, give us it's a 2.5-minute break here. I want you to listen to Be Grim. It's called Darkness. Well, I thought so.
Hi, Christopher. What are you doing?
I was better, I conquered all my demons. I wasn't jumping out of my sleep, no more screaming. A functioning member of society is what I try to be. But when I look into the mirror, yo, my own reflection lies to me. I don't know why I be cracking up. These different personalities are always acting up. I've had enough, I wish I could just end it. I wrote a letter to myself, but I'm too afraid to send it. I know it's hard to comprehend, but normalcy is not something you easily pretend. So every now and then, when I want to escape from this place, I close my eyes and welcome your embrace. Always asking if anybody's proud of me, because the silence is just so freaking loud to me.
don't wanna think about the things I ain't allowed to be. So a memory's the only thing I'm about to be. But now there's suicidal, suicidal. We'll have you kicking in my front door and checking on my vitals. But ain't you ever gonna realize, just cause I'm living and I'm breathing doesn't really mean that I'm alive.
And that was a bad fade out, sorry folks, but that's Be Grim, and the name of it is Darkness. It's a free download over at Reverb.
And is that Reverb, like Reverberation Nation?
Reverb
Nation.
Yeah, Reverb Nation. And it's the name of the song is Darkness. He's got some great stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll make clips for the next one that do the automatic fade. Reverb Nation, sure. Yes. Okay.
Okay.
And back to it, gentlemen. Back to it. We have 15 minutes to go. Love to have a call in from, especially from anyone out west that is seeing firsthand from Colorado to Texas to, yes, I'm talking to you, to JG.
Even Washington State, up by
there is a lot of activism going on out there,
mm-hmm.
to try and
Oregon.
Stop, yeah, to
yep.
what's happening with this tar sands project.
Mm-hmm.
There's some alternatives emerging using railways to cart the tar sands, railways.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's from the sublime to the ridiculous. First of all, they're just, you know, it's the wrong kind of energy resource to be working with to begin with. But what they're thinking of doing just gets worse and worse and worse. They seem to be moving clearly into, you know, anything that will make the biggest mess.
Railroads?
Yeah.
That sounds a little asinine, doesn't it?
It sure does.
I mean,
you can't move any tangible amount of oil on rail, and besides that, there's more accidents on rail than anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I love railroad riding, but I'll tell you what, a train riding. But you're absolutely right with that. And
mm-hmm.
And basically, it's the guys over at the Washington Post that are putting those out, the railroad alternatives. They're writing that one up. And,
you know, that's weird because that was categorically rejected after a few years by James D. Rockefeller, the initial Rockefeller guy. That he went to pipelines because it was a lot easier and quicker for him to use pipelines than it was to cart it off by rail.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's kind of a regression in transport, I would say. Even though it's safer for the environment, but that's about it.
I think they're just throwing things out there so that the public at hand will begin to debate in different directions that will.
Well, I hope that happens.
Freakier and freakier, and they.
You know what You know what I find laughable? Well, I find the whole thing. I would find it laughable if it wasn't so horrific. But they say that up to a million people could get jobs out of this. Can you imagine? They'd have.
Oh
there.
Yeah.
A person watching every foot of that pipe. And I mean, they'd be lucky if there's going to be a dozen people employed from that.
Well, you know, and just like the Bush tax cuts were supposed to create a million jobs,
some
joke.
Yeah, there's not much evidence for any of it happening, is there?
They always make that claim just to sell the program.
Yeah, it's like JG is saying in the chat. It's a few thousand short-term jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
No, even the oil platforms and the oil riggers, those are short-term jobs, but they've got so many oil platforms and rigs going, or they used to, especially in the Gulf, that it became generational, you know, lifestyle.
How many people does it take to weld the pipe and then to turn a spigot? Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, it takes quite a few men though to keep those platforms, those rigs up out there. They want to begin. Rick Scott is trying to introduce legislation in Tallahassee that will bring the platforms to our East Coast here now, the East Coast of Florida into the Atlantic, and that just absolute sucks.
NIMBY,
he's crazy.
God. I mean, and then of course they'll be all up and down the, the East Coastline. You know, they'll get them out there. Right? They'll be outside of New York City for crying out loud. They can sink platforms, especially in cold water, because they set up quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Europe, Western Europe. Is moving away from this pollution ridden environmentally destructive resourcing of energy. They're moving away from it.
Mm-hmm.
BP, except for England.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
about Norway,
they're relying on nuclear power. France, in particular.
Well,
how about Norway?
France has done that, but they're getting a lot of citizen rejection of it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and remember this, too. France, Germany, and one other country, they get together with their anti-nukes up there, and they make a hell of a difference.
Oh, yeah.
It's they've stopped. The transportation of waste, they've done a lot over there. But you're right, there is nuclear power over there. But look what's going on with Fukushima, and tell me that anybody's going to really take in the next couple of years when you start seeing what fish look like coming out of our oceans. I mean, there's no cap on that yet.
Let's hope those fish don't end up on our dinner plates.
They already are.
Yeah,
good
you see
God.
The fish that I gave you a picture of off of Argentina where they dumped their nuclear waste, that fish with three eyes?
Oh, my God.
That's
terrible.
What do you expect? I mean.
Yeah, and you eat that stuff, you get cancer. I mean, how utterly ridiculous. What I don't know what's wrong with these people. How far can greed carry them?
Well, right to the grave.
Well, I think
it's insane.
I still say it's a shame on you to every Western leader, every leader on this planet that has not stepped forward yet and has not come to the aid of Japan in getting this capped. And you know, Chernobyl was taken care of in how many days?
Yeah.
And they lost how many men? But in Fukushima, they've lost a lot of men. Have gone in and lost their lives already. But they have done nothing to contain it. What is wrong with General Friggin' Electric? It's outrageous. It's really outrageous. If you listen to Kevin Blanche and the videos he puts out. No wonder he's cussing so freely. I mean, it's incredible what is going on.
Yeah, it's going on secretly for the most part, because the media is in this country certainly not covering it.
No, but the media in Japan, they begin to talk about it, and those people are, you know, how many media hosts and such have been fired in Japan in the last year?
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
And then there are the people who are like, I think it was Anderson Cooper, who got the hell out of Japan because he's scared. He was scared of radiation. Well, he should
be. Exactly. Yep, exactly.
Basically, we all should be. It's not contained. It's not contained.
Tainted water, tainted food, tainted air. It's all very bad, and it's going to come our way unless we're preemptive about it.
Already experienced some of it. I mean,
yeah, exactly. It's coming our way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, whether or not it's getting into the food supply,
that'll be the next step, and that's bad.
It touches the air and the air gets into, you know, air is that beautiful element that's invisible and life-sustaining at the same time, and it permeates everything.
So
and
the rain brings it to the ground.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so we're all tainted. We've all got Fukushima in us. How much of it? It's like we all have Chernobyl in us.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, yeah, we do. And we have far more radiation in our bloodstream today than we did, you know, when we were born. There's no doubt about that because we've been exposed to so much more. And it's on an increase rather than a decrease.
Yeah, they say it's a negligible amount, but, you know, after, I mean...
Yeah.
That
That's what they say.
I mean, it's going to be at a...
Who are these they guys, huh?
Yeah.
There's a... I want to say that, and I've got to change browsers here to go over and look in Roundtree 7 Journey Room, but Janelle Green posted a... So many people posted in here. Now I'm having a hard time finding it. It's a film she posted. Here it is. It's called Plastic Planet.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a documentary. And she's recommending it highly. And Janelle is somebody who's incredibly concerned about the environment. And she puts a lot of good information out there for people to inform themselves with. And she is saying right now that there are microparticles of plastic in the air, and that doesn't surprise me. I don't know how many people I've said, do you remember ever having this much dust in your house when you were a kid?
No, right. Good point.
I mean, you know, and I think that dust is exactly what she's talking about.
Could very well be. That's very true, yeah. And they're talking about all the plastic that's out in the oceans right now, just not degrading at all. It's just sitting there and polluting stuff.
There's continent-sized swirls of that garbage, that plastic,
good
swirling
God.
Around. And even up in Hawaii. I mean, they're everywhere. There's not just one of them.
Yeah.
No, there's actually a major one in the Pacific, and there's two smaller but major ones in the Atlantic. It's like the Sargasso Sea. Are you familiar with the Sargasso Sea? It's a floating island of seaweed used to fell ships from the wind and capture
Down by Bermuda.
Them. Yeah,
kind of by the Bermuda Triangle, kind of.
Yeah, down in my territory, I'm in the apex of that triangle here. I grew up on that sea out there. And I've seen some strange stuff, including maelstroms or whirlpools.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, puppy, you got to be quiet. Mommy's on the radio. He's looking at me like, yeah.
I think he's reminding you that our time is almost up.
he knows.
It's true. It's true. We have come to the conclusion of another hour on Here Be Monsters, the Sunday show. Thank you so much, Jim, for calling in and being with us today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Jim, good to hear from you.
You are entirely welcome. Thank you, guys.
Oh.
You bet. We'll see you. We'll talk to you next week or soon.
Yes.
I want to thank Krell and Tricia and Janelle Green for being in the chat along with our guests and to put so much great information in here for us to take advantage of online. Next time, guys, call in and see us. And also remember, we're simulcast now via YouTube on Roundtree 7. The front page, and next time I'll remember to push the start broadcast button on Hangouts.
Well, have a great progressive week, everybody out there, and thanks for being with us this week, and we'll look forward to your participation next week.
That we will. Thank you so much, Jack Jodell, Saturday Afternoon Post. Please go over and read him.
Thank you, everybody, and thank you, Gwen, and we'll talk to you again next week. I look forward to it.
Back at you, Jack. This has been the Sunday show of Here Be Monsters with Jack Jodell and Gwen Berry And please remember, go over and visit roundtree7.com. That's the number 7. And we will see you next week.
It's a date. See you then.
Good show. This was a good show. Thanks.
Yeah, good to hear from you, Jim. Bye-bye now.
Yeah, thanks, guys. That's it. We're out.